Let us join together in song with Jesus Calls Us Here to Meet Him. We'll sing the first three verses in Sing the Journey. That's the green book. First three verses. Please stand if you can and join me in singing.
And Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." And Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." And Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people, in order to be seen by them." And Jesus said, "When you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you." And Jesus said, "Do not be anxious for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own troubles." And Jesus said, "Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but not the log in your own?" And Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened." And Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Good morning, and Welcome here to this morning's worship service. For those of you who are usual attenders, for those who are visitors here this morning, welcome here. So it's only been a week since we gathered in this place, and although it's only 7 days, much has happened since that meeting. We've all had the opportunity to experience this warm and perhaps too warm temperatures that this season sometimes brings. Some of you have traveled to see friends and relatives and been at weddings, or you've had people drop in to renew friendships and share stories of each other's lives. Or perhaps you've communed together over a meal. Some of you have been spending time reading or picking the first fruits of your gardens, tending your flowers. Some of you have traveled to new places, experienced new adventures. Perhaps you've marveled at the perfection of the moon and the wide open skies, and the amazing colors of sunrises and sunsets. You may have driven out in the country and checked out the waving fields of grain. Some have experienced much sadness and illnesses for yourself and for those close to you. We're all here carrying in our little suitcases that drag behind us invisibly, all the things that we've experienced this past week. And today, we come together in this particular place. We do want you to feel connected here. We invite you to participate as you are able. We also invite you to let go of expectations and judgments, and allow the Spirit to move in and through you. Welcome once again to this time of worship. I'm going to invite you to turn in your bulletins to our call to worship, and our call to worship is something that we can join in together, and because we are calling each other to worship in a way. And I will read the light print and you the dark, and we'll go as printed. As the sun rises in the morning, as the heat of the noonday sun spreads across the land, as we are witness to the changing colors of the season, the beauty of the changing skies. God is present with us. As we gather together in this place,
however glad we are, however of a source we are,
God is present with us. We remember that this is a place where all are welcome.
God is present with us.
God is present with us. Let us worship God. Let's pray together. It is good to be together in this place with these people at this time. God, together we are here, we're listening for what it is we need to hear right now. In this hour of worship, we do want to understand more about your kingdom of kindness so that we can look for and join in that. We do want to know more about your justice. We want to learn more of what it means to walk humbly, closely, and daily. Open our ears to what needs to be heard. Open our minds to expanding ideas and ideals. Give us hearts and minds willing to move beyond what we know and into what is possible. We know that you are here with us. Together as one, we pray. Amen.
Let us join together and sing some songs of praise. And we are going to start with the Blue Book, number 90, For the Fruit of All Creation. You will notice that the hymns that we've selected, Pearl and I actually had a nice coffee time and did our final selection of the songs midweek. It was kind of fun. And so the theme is kind of maybe agricultural and Thanksgiving. So here we go. For the fruit of all creation, please stand if you can. Number 90. Thank you for your good singing. And now we are going to sing number 40, As the Rain from the Clouds. And this is in the Green Book, Sing the Journey. And the tune is Flow Gently, Sweet Afton, so it'll probably seem quite familiar, although the words are different. Number 40.
Thank you.
I would invite the ushers to bring the offering forward. You would have all had a chance to put your offering in the offering plates, and if you didn't do that and you still want to have an offering, you can give it to Margaret later. Let's pray together. God of great abundance, we bring these financial offerings gathered together this morning. Bless these and all the other ways people have given financially to the work of the larger church in this past week. Bless all that we give and all that we keep. In your name we pray, amen. I'd like you to turn to your Sing the Journey, number 105. I want to use this in amongst our prayer this morning. So we'll be singing it a few times in there, and you'll listen for Pearl to begin, and then we'll sing, and we will sing it through once before we begin. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the way you have been with us as individuals and as a congregation this past week. Thank you, God, for the diversity of us here as individuals, but also of all the worshiping groups around this city and in the world this day. As we work at being the church in the world, each in our own way, may we remember the common thread that holds us together. Help us to celebrate our diversity, but help us also to celebrate our sameness. We realize that there are huge changes happening in our world. Help us to always be the bringers of peace and hope and light. We're still very much learning about your love and forgiveness and grace. And we have lots of opportunities in our day to choose the right thing. We are people striving to understand your plan for us here on earth. And we're still learning how to be faithful. And together we are the church. Together we join to pray as one voice. Let's sing. This morning we pray for all those in our church family who are unable to join us for worship those who are dealing with illness, or those with other plans, or those who decided not to come this morning. We give you thanks for each of their lives. May they feel your presence in a special way this morning. We pray for safe travels for those holidaying and reconnecting with friends and families. We pray for renewed health and a return back to normal for all those dealing with health issues. We pray this morning for all unvoiced concerns and all voiced concerns. Let's sing. This morning, we want to pray as well for MCC's programs and personnel around the world. Many are working in unsettled situations. Be with them. Give them safety in the work you have called them to do. We pray for all of those working in all the capacities with the Food Grains Bank, working to bring much-needed grain to many countries unable to produce enough food. You have called us to give food to the hungry. You give each of us opportunities to live out our calling each day. May we be bold enough to step out of our comfort zones. May we always look for new opportunities to show love and compassion to our families, our neighbors, our co-workers, and strangers we encounter day by day. Show us the way to reach out to people with understanding and patience. Reaching out to help heal broken places in their lives. Look with compassion on those in our world who live with injustice, fear, hatred, and oppression. Use us as channels of your love. And may we live in such a way that others will know we are Christians by our love. Let's sing. May each of us truly feel your presence going into this next week. May we go out into the world refreshed, renewed, and with a keen sense of optimism as your children. In your name together we pray. Amen.
I'd ask you now to turn in your blue hymn books to number 142, Brothers and Sisters of Mine, 142. Please stand if you are able.
Sisters of mine, mother of grief, sighing the sorrow and weeping in their pain.
So we want to welcome Rick and Jackie Block here this morning. They are representatives from the Saskatchewan Food Grains Bank, and they will be telling you a bit more. And the passage that they have chosen is John 21, verse 1 to 8, and I will read that now. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "Well, we'll go with you." So they went out, got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "Is it the Lord?" As soon as Simon Peter had heard him say, "Is it the Lord?" he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards.
Good morning. So good to be here with you. So blessed by your earnestness in coming together today to worship God and be here with one another, to continue to seek to be God's people in the world. My name is Jackie Locke, and my husband Rick, we're going to share our speaking today. So I'm going to start off, and we have a bit of a slide presentation for you, but I realized in my notes, I thought, it might be nice for you folks to have a bit of a sense of who we are. So yes, we've been the regional reps for the Food Grains Bank in Saskatchewan for the past 6 years. Actually, prior to that, a few years before that, our family served with MCC in southern Mexico when our children were quite small. They are now teenagers and stayed home this morning and didn't come with us. And then Rick grew up in Waldheim, Saskatchewan, and I actually grew up in British Columbia. But I will say that my mother was actually born in Herbert. So there's some good Saskatchewan roots in my family as well. In addition to sharing this job, that Rick actually does quite a bit more than I do. I don't know if you know this, but I'm also the board chair of MCC Saskatchewan. So currently, and so greetings from them. And it's fitting to share that because, as you all know, the Food Grains Bank is actually a member organization that began as the MCC Food Bank before it became the Canadian Food Grains Bank. And it is now currently made up of 15 different members. And MCC, you can see in the middle there, continues to be a strong support of this collective effort to be a Christian response to hunger and to search and seek a world where we envision a world where people are not hungry. So it's good to be here with you, and we want to thank you for both your ongoing support to the Food Grains Bank and through their member, Mennonite Central Committee. So that's a little bit of introduce ourselves and who we work for. As far as the Canadian Food Grains Bank, just as a little bit of a reminder that we both work to provide emergency food assistance in times of crisis, and there are many of those in our world today. Unfortunately, this continues. The work of the Food Grains Bank continues to be strong, but unfortunately in the last few years, due to a lot of conflict and to some issues around climate change and to COVID in our world, the number of people who are actually needing food assistance has increased in the last few years. As much as possible, we also do long-term responses to improve household food security. So that often looks like work for people who are small-scale farmers in order to provide them with tools and resources that are needed to grow more and better of their own food for their family. And Rick will be sharing some more specific stories of what that looks like in our world today. We also engage Canadians and governments towards meaningful change. And so a few of those ways, obviously, that we engage people is we engage people by receiving their generous donations, whether that's individuals or churches or community projects. All of those ways we are thankful. But there's other ways that the public has shown support in the last few years. Right, this is what I was going to say first. Just to let you know, in this last fiscal year, we provided over $49 million of assistance for over 989,000 people in 33 countries. So about, I think around $18 million of that dollars is actually comes from people that show support for the Food Grains Bank. But we also provide a lot of financial support from the Government of Canada and also different corporate and other grants that come together, and that's a lot of our motto of what we continue to do is to work together towards this one vision of a world without hunger. As I said, there's lots of ways that we gain public support outside of the support we receive from the government, donations being a large part of that. We also have lots of people that are engaged in advocacy type work, in which we're trying to make sure that our government has policies that will bring the most benefit to the resources that we're giving and provide change in ways that are also policy driven. A huge part of that was actually one of the first policy things that we ever did was to untie food aid, to work with Canadian farmers to make sure that years and years ago, we were only allowed to actually send Canada products. So the only option we had was to send grain. And that was a huge part of the policy department original work, was to make sure that we could find more and better and effective ways to actually feed people by being able to send resources to countries and not just the grain that we grew. We also have Canadians participating in ongoing learning events to understand the challenges of ending hunger. It's always good to provide support in a way that meets the actual need. And so we continue to need to be an organization that learns and grows and understands. And Rick's gonna share a little bit about that in a little bit about why are people hungry? And so we can respond the best we can in meeting those needs. So you can also say in partnership with our members, that's 16 million. That's 60 million, so that's the part of the 49 collective that was actually gained through the different members, including MCC. So that's a little bit of just a kind of overall glimpse, and Rick's gonna go into some details before that. But really the end goal, and one of the things we try to teach people as we come and learn, is that what we're really trying to do is make people more food secure. And that is, food security is when all people have regular access to enough nutritious food to lead healthy and active lives. So we want people to have regular access to food, not intermittent, to have enough nutritious food, not just enough calories to maybe get through a day, but nutritious food so they could be healthy and active lives. And you need that. I know that it's maybe not something, I don't know your family's history or whether or not you have ever been in a place of not having a secure access to food, but it's I can't quite imagine what it would be like to not have enough food to feed my family, or to not enough food to give my children in order that they could be active and they could grow up healthy and be able to contribute in their own ways to the world around them. So this is one of the things that we we work towards. And we entitled our presentation today, A Hunger for Justice. And this is a particular justice issue that the Food Grains Bank really is trying to work towards. And that is that everyone has the right to food. And we really affirm God's desire and the right of each person to have access to the to food and to be free from hunger. This is the world we envision. I think this is the ongoing work that Jesus began when he came to this earth of developing God's kingdom here on earth. And it wasn't the passage that I asked to be read, but I was thankful that it was read this morning, and that is the Sermon on the Mount. Because the Sermon on the Mount really gives us a good picture of the world that God does desire for us to live in. There's a number of principles that come out in the Sermon on the Mount, obviously. I actually bought a book for Rick this Christmas with a compilation of various authors in history that write about what it means to live the Sermon on the Mount together. In the intro to the book, the editor makes this statement: when Jesus calls people to himself, a new social order is born, which he calls the kingdom of God. And so I'm going to just share a little bit. We call ourselves a Christian response to hunger. And so I'm just going to share a little bit in the next few minutes before Rick comes about this idea of how do we work the groundings and the spiritual groundings of how we work for God's kingdom, in particular when we think about people who are hungry. Obviously, in the Sermon on the Mount, the most particular statement that is shared that relates to our topic today is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Now, I think we all know that the blessing doesn't come in the hunger and the thirst, but it comes when those who are hungry and thirsty are satisfied. It's interesting, actually, biblically speaking, that this Greek word for justice is used in so many contexts in Scripture. It's actually quite amazing. It goes all the way from contexts that talk about our personal righteousness and holiness, all the way to all the work that we do in terms of social justice. Although I did like one context when it talks about that those who hunger and thirst for this justice, this dikaiosune, you're going to have Randy Clausen come speak to you in a few weeks. And he was my Greek teacher at Bethany, actually, when I worked there, so he would pronounce that better than I did. But these are people that have a deep yearning for things to be right in their individual lives and in society. And when I thought about hungering and thirsting and that yearning for things to be right, I found this picture, and I felt like it was a good picture to describe at times how we may feel when we are thirsty for things and things feel dry and they seem cracked and it does not seem right and it does not seem good. So when I think that roughly 768 million people experience hunger in our world, this does not seem right and this does not seem good. And we hunger for a world where these people are fed. I was also reading a blog by a Jesuit priest, and his idea of the Beatitude says that it challenges us to ask ourselves whether we really hunger and thirst for this righteousness, whether we really crave a world closer to what God wants of it. To what extent do I passionately care that the world looks so distant from what God wishes it to be? Not only the big world, but also the world of my life, my own family, my workplace, my parish, my country. Another author that I wrote that I was reading about his thoughts on the Beatitudes says that the first three Beatitudes, of which hungering and thirsting for justice is included, speaks about things that leave us unsatisfied, people that are left empty by our world, the poor, the meek, and those who weep. He goes on to comment that human beings are not really created for this type of emptiness, but we're created for goodness and fullness. And we can see this in the stories of the first humans as they walked in the Garden of Eden before sin entered our world and our lives, and things from then have not been quite right. So, if this is the reality of where we are, that we're hungering and thirsting, and at times our life and the world around us feel like a dry and cracked ground, what can we do? John Piper also notes that the next set of Beatitudes highlights things we can do to bring fullness and goodness to our world. We can be merciful, we can be pure of heart, and we can work as peacemakers. All activities which might result actually in persecution despite being good and right, as they did in the life of Jesus. So I bring these questions to you today of hungering and thirsting. But I also wanted to bring a sense of hopefulness of what can we do? How can we respond to these issues? And that is why I had us read the gospel story. Because in contrast to this picture, I found this picture of abundance and fullness and living. And this is a picture of an illustration I found that reflected the gospel reading that we had today from John 21. So I had thought, as we look to Jesus' words about how to, his teaching and his preaching about how to live out God's kingdom, I thought it would be good to look a little short story of Jesus' life and how he actually lived that out in his own being. So in the story of John 21, which actually comes really late in after Jesus has resurrected, and the context of the story is obviously these people that have been fishermen for their whole life went on this incredible journey for 3 years of walking with Jesus, and he died. And they may have been left empty and wondering where, what was for them in this world. How do we live out this kingdom without Jesus' presence with us? I can imagine there was lots of parts of their lives that didn't seem quite right and good, and that they were maybe hungering and thirsty. And so they did. They went out to catch fish. Not only maybe in a lot of areas of life were they hungry and thirsty, their evening without catching fish left them with hunger itself. And so this is where we find Jesus entering into a story. And I often find that Jesus enters into our lives and meets us in our needs, sometimes in our very acute need for food. And so while all the gospel stories tell a lot about how Jesus responded to the world, it is quite interesting that a number of the stories we see Jesus responding to the acute need that people have for food. And so I just wanted to show you this picture because I just felt like it was a hopeful picture of God's desire. And as we talk about justice and we talk about hungering for justice, that it's something that God also desires. And I do think God desires to satisfy us and to satisfy people and to find ways, to look for ways in our world where we can join with God in bringing abundant life to people who are hungry and who are thirsty. At the Food Grains Bank, every day we hear stories of people who are hungry, in need of mercy, in need of being met in their acute need for food assistance. The Beatitudes don't just invite us to be merciful, they call us to be pure of heart, to be peacemakers, even to face persecution. If we could spend more time in this gospel reading, there's much more going on than just people that didn't catch fish. And yet, it is a good example, and it made me think of a parable. And this idea of what more can we do than give a man a fish? Because in the gospel story, it goes on. And while Jesus did provide fish for the disciples that day, he provided many more things. And so at the Food Grains Bank, and I'm going to transition a little bit more to that now, sometimes I would think that this question would maybe think of the parable of what can we do when people are hungry? And can we do more than just give a man a fish? I'm sure you're thinking of the same proverb that I'm thinking of. At the Food Grains Bank, I don't think it's a Food Grains Bank person that wrote it, but one time in response to this question, somebody amended the proverb to say this: not only to give a man a fish, but how about we give a woman a fish, and she'll have the energy to take care of her children, do well at work, and pursue her goals. Teach her to fish along with the men, and give her access to a pond full of fish, and she'll be able to feed herself and her family for life. So at the Food Grains Bank, as we continue to also sometimes meet the acute needs of food assistance and people that simply do need something to eat in the moment. We continue to look for more ways to meet the fullness of the needs that are presented when people are hungry. And Rick's going to talk more about that.
Thank you, Jackie. It's so good to be here with you. I sometimes lead off, and I'll say is that it's great to be present with you, to worship with you. I want to thank you for the choice of songs and the readings and the prayer. That really brings us all at a kind of at a level space where we can humbly come to learn and to hear from God's word. And God's word being so full and rich with parable, which Jackie was just alluding to, and I think in some ways parable is such an effective way, and it's not about defining, saying this is what you should know. The parable opens up a door, a world of learning. And I think one of the most boldest things we can do, if we are going to be people that respond to such difficult situations in the world, is exactly that song that we were singing. Lord, your love is stronger than our fear. And when we believe that and are truly convicted by that, we can open up into a space where we really are open to learning. And Jackie and I speak with people, you know, most days, and we see this sense of sometimes there can be a real closed door to the idea of learning more about hunger, because it might seem scary and it might seem that, what might this imply for me? And yet, if we hold to understanding and knowing that Christ's love is stronger and greater than our fear, it does allow us to walk authentically into perhaps a new path to really ask this question and explore more broadly, as Jackie was mentioning, you know, what more can we do than to give a man a fish? And I'm going to kind of play with this a little bit and share some stories. First of all, one of the more difficult questions that sometimes, and I'm only going to be brief in this kind of a slide, but why are people hungry? And there's so many reasons for that, and the contexts are often shifting, and sometimes they're overlaid one on top of another. Certainly inequality, what I did want to say was, we often hear that, you know, there are so many people that are going hungry, and that is very true. That we need to produce more food, and perhaps that's true, but it's actually, it's important to understand that even as Jackie showed that picture of abundance, our world produces enough food for all of us to live in a satisfied way currently. But again, we have systems that are both corrupt, and greed comes into play, and there's inefficiencies, and there's food, lots of food that gets wasted, and the distribution is not equitable. And so things such as inequality, things such as conflict, and we're probably all very aware, you know, the conflict in Ukraine has actually, you know, it's garnered most of the attention, but it has also helped to kind of shed light on why there is extreme hunger in other parts of the world. It's exasperated hunger in other parts of the world. Certainly we cannot, turn a blind eye to the fact that climates are shifting around the world, and for sure in tropical regions, shifts in climate can have even more severe consequences, particularly in populations where, you know, the majority of a country's population is living at or below the poverty line. And COVID really highlighted as well some of the manners in which our system, in terms of moving and distributing food, is very inequitable, and sometimes there's shortfalls and shortcomings, and so that again has also upended many livelihoods and people's ability to access food. So I'm giving you the kind of this scan on that, and all of that we could go in much more deeply. And as Jackie mentioned too, this has a lot of implications even at the family and the village and the community level, where men and women and children experience food insecurity in much different ways, and often women bear the real brunt of caring for a family. And often, when there is shortfall in terms of income and livelihood, it's the women and the children that do bear an additional burden from hunger. So that being a little bit of a scan, and we heard earlier about MCC, who has this long and rich history, now over 100 years, of responding to needs, where needs are severe and present. How do we respond as Christ would respond? I think of Steve Bell's words, Christ has no body on earth. Christ has no body here on earth but ours. We are Christ's hands and feet, and so we are called to respond in that way. On the Food Grains Bank page, for those that are interested, you can go and actually see where is MCC working through its Food Grains Bank account. And currently there are 29 projects across the world, and I'm not going to go into all of the details, but I did want to just kind of give that as a bit of a highlight. And through that, I selected, I selected three stories. Not that you can find stories in each and every of these projects, but I want to highlight kind of three locations, three stories, three manners in which MCC is doing this work of responding to those that are hungry. And actually, one of them I kind of chuckled because it's specifically about fishing. And it's about allowing families to have access to a pond, because you could imagine, you know, give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, teach him how to fish and he'll, you know, eat forever. So that's kind of that's the nugget of that parable. But what about, as Jackie mentioned, there's variations on that. What about if there's more families than there are ponds, access points to the pond? And here in this scenario, MCC is working through a local partner agency to ensure that they provide training and also food for work in order to help families actually dig their own ponds to be able to implement. It's a really neat kind of, well, I don't want to just say a gardening system, that simplifies it, but it's, you have your own fish pond and you have a garden and you actually have small livestock, and that all integrates in a much more sustainable manner in order to help families feed themselves. Because as Jackie mentioned, in this scenario, food security is not just growing more rice. Rice is calories, but rice doesn't give a full plate of nutrition. And only rice does not help children to grow to become healthy and active, and for families to have that kind of active and sustainable lifestyle. So we can look at Aunt Sun Yan's words here. This is kind of reflecting upon all of the training and the work that has gone into this project. My family living condition is much better now. We have enough food to eat, says Aunt Sun Yan, seen here feeding fish in her fish pond. So this is in Cambodia, and MCC has been working there for quite a number of years. And a real key piece to this is the trusted local partnerships. I know when we were with MCC in Mexico too, we were seconded to a local partner, and it's that presence of that local partner that really allows MCC's vision to be enacted within communities where MCC works. Here's another glimpse, and it's just slightly cut off, but I think you can probably get the gist of it. This comes from Haiti, and this is a response when people are perhaps already fishing from the pond, so to speak. They're producing food, but at times, just as we know, things happen. And this was in mid-August last year. Sometimes there can be a sequence of scenarios that are disastrous. And so, I forget, I don't have the dates in front of me. It was August 14th. I believe it was the 14th of August, and there was a very large earthquake on the western side of Haiti. And then 3 days later, a Category 3 hurricane passed through. So you basically compound misery over top of misery. And many communities were cut off. Livelihoods were lost, particularly if you're a farmer. That crop year was just totally wiped out. And so there are times when in the midst of communities, on their feet, so to speak, that a disaster occurs. And in fact, what we need to do is be able to respond with some fish in hand so that they can bridge that very tough time period in order to kind of move further on in reestablishing that livelihood. And so here is a quote from a young lady. Her name is Bernadette. And she says, thank you for not leaving us alone. And there's a lot more backstory to this, but in terms of how MCC needed to, you know, got into these kind of more remote communities, even with the help of Mission Aviation Fellowship, that just spur of the moment said, you know what, listen, we can help. We'll offer our services. And they delivered relief kits to these villages. And in fact, some of the MCC personnel were saying to people in the village, now don't spread your generosity out too thin, because people were receiving these relief kits and they were sharing with others in other neighboring communities. And they said, the Haitians said, listen, when we get a gift, it is for us to continue to extend that generosity of God. And so even MCC personnel were quite maybe almost perplexed, but impressed in the sense of having gone through such a difficult scenario, and yet people were still compelled or still acting generously to those who had even less than they did. And that's, you can find that story on MCC's website. A third glimpse into our work is in East Africa, where there has been a lot of work around conservation agriculture. And my guess is you could talk to, I don't know all of your histories here, but I do know Matt Dirksen here through Julie, who we work with. Years ago, people farmed fairly conventionally. You know, you summer fallowed and then you grew a crop, kind of switched year to year and year to year. And some of the transition to continuous cropping and minimum tillage, zero till, that was a whole transition, and it was change, and sometimes change can be hard. And that is what is currently happening in East Africa, where the change from a certain way of growing food and adopting the principles around conservation agriculture, and we're around in the potluck, so I can speak more at length about it, but that change has also, you know, there's early adopters, there's people that begin to see results, that is now going widespread, and MCC, through their Food Grains Bank account, and along with other members of the Food Grains Bank, have been instrumental in helping see this change happen from pilot scale projects to now in the tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of farm families are adopting this practice of, you know, it's a different practice in terms of how food is grown, but it's proving itself, you know, fairly, you know, again, I can talk about that later in the potluck, but as Kanesh Zima, who works through, actually it's one of Tier Fund's local partners, and I'm highlighting this story partly because there is on the Food Grains Bank YouTube channel, you can see a really nice 7-minute summary of her story. Part of what she speaks here, it says here, from the harvest of 205 pumpkins, I provided 70 to my neighbors who were having a food shortage, says Kanesh Zima. I had the same history of asking neighbors for food at times of shortage before I participated in this project. And so I'm highlighting her story because it represents this aspect of how God works amongst his people through a network, through the reaching out in ways that are both generous and discerning. And we do that amongst our network here in Saskatchewan. The Food Grains Bank itself is this network, as you've seen, of various agencies. And we see this network responding to the needs of one another in the countries where our local partners are working. And I think that's just really inspirational and really indicative of how God works that small bit of leaven and that that works itself through the dough. I recognize the time here, and I'm going to take just 5 more minutes here to speak a little bit about reminding ourselves of, within this network, what is the invitation for us to respond? The Food Grains Bank speaks of 4 primary avenues of response, that being through giving, through learning, through praying, and through advocating. Oops. We give because we often feel that we have been blessed by God. And there's something beautiful about that as an aspect of our worship, of giving back to God. And we even had that through some of the songs that we sung. I did see that it's already in your bulletin, so I won't kind of go over some of the details. But actually, today is the 17th. It is the last day in which the Canadian government had allocated an additional $5 million that was available to be matched by generous donors, Canadians, who would donate to the Food Grains Bank, or in fact to even, there's a larger collective called the Humanitarian Coalition. But I see that you're very well aware of that, and so I'll leave that with you. As well, as you all know, the Food Grains Bank has for many years done many creative ways in which we participate together to be generous, to help in this work. And I think Grow Hope is one that I really want to highlight. I do know that the church has connections to Grow Hope. I know that probably many of you, some of you have connections, maybe personally, to Dan and Carol Siebert, who are one of five farm families that are participating in this project. There are 300 acres available for sponsorship. So farmers have offered these acres, and this Grow Hope as a project invites people to join in the project to sponsor the input costs for an acre or two or a portion of an acre. And currently, as of a few days ago, we are at 143 that are sponsored out of the 300. And it's a really, it's a real encouraging space, because this is a project that MCC is doing jointly with Development and Peace, which is the Catholic member of the Food Grains Bank, and also Canadian Baptist Ministries. So we often think about Grow Hope as a neat little project that really reflects the Food Grains Bank in of itself. Sorry, I talk with my hands too much. but that's one other creative way to give. And there's many ways that talk with us at the potluck, many ways in which people think creatively to say, how can we join our efforts and our interests and our passion together to help raise awareness and help raise funds for the work of the Food Grains Bank? Learning is an essential piece. And I even commented a little bit about this. And I will just say that we often do this with youth. This is a bit of a facilitated, I don't know if I have a pointer there, but those 2 feet in the sense of being charitable, walking with both feet. It says it right on the bottom. Charitable giving, and also learning and responding justly. I wouldn't do the example, but it's much easier and more fluid to walk with both feet than to have to hop. Hopping will tire one out. And so if you're only doing one of those two, then you may find yourself being more tired out. And so that walking with 2 feet is, I think, a really effective analogy. And I'd encourage you, and I brought one up, just in terms of learning. There's lots of print material at the back, and we are just launching a new 5-year strategic plan that is called Until All Are Fed. And there's some really, I think, important aspects that have kind of come together that are well communicated and that really reflect a lot of learning that the Food Grains Bank has gone through over the last few decades. We, as Jackie mentioned, we have an ongoing relationship with the Government of Canada. And one of the things is to continue to encourage decision makers in Ottawa, and many of those are, you know, obviously in our constituencies as MPs, to not falter, and in fact to strongly consider responding to putting more funds towards international assistance, because the need is increasing internationally. For the sake of time, I will be a little bit shorter on this, but one of our signature events in terms of kind of rubbing shoulders and having this kind of engagement with MPs in Ottawa is called Hunger on the Hill. And it's a time when Canadian Food Grains Bank supporters of all stripes, all ages, are able to come together and as a team work together to learn more about hunger, but also have opportunities to connect directly with MPs, prior to October by virtue of Zoom calls, and then there's a number of days when the whole team is together in October, and there's, you know, lots of days of meetings, and Jackie was at one in 2018, I believe. But it's an important aspect. Not all MPs are aware of the issue of global hunger, and yet there is this ongoing relationship, really, whether it's been a Liberal or Conservative government. So irrespective of party, this is a relationship that the Food Grains Bank is eager to continue to cultivate, and it's important to have dialogue. So there is an opportunity to go to Hunger on the Hill if that would be something that would really strike your interest. Come and talk with us after. In closing, and I see something kind of is on the back side there, I'm just going to read the Serenity Prayer in closing, and I think we've already indicated the importance of us as God's people to be rooted in prayer. And the Serenity Prayer, I think, is a reminder that we can't do all things, but we can do some things. And it's a reminder that even as we prayed earlier this morning, that Christ's love is stronger than our fear, that he gives us wisdom. And let me just close in reading this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Rick and Jackie, for your presentation. It was extremely interesting, and the idea of feeding the world and overcoming hunger in the world is a huge, huge issue, and I think it's really quite prominent in our minds with the war that's going on in Ukraine and the problems that they are having transporting their grain. So anyway, thank you so much for coming. And we are going to now sing hymn number 63 in Sing the Journey. And it's Lord, You Give the Great Commission. And we are going to sing verses 1 and 2. Please stand if you can, and we will sing together.
Go into the world doing what the Lord requires, living with kindness and justice, walking your path humbly with God. Then you will find yourself blessed. Now that yours is the kingdom of heaven, yours the strength and mercy of God, yours all the blessings given to God's beloved children. Go in peace.
Our final song for the day will be As You Go Out From Here, hymn number 841 in the New Voices Together. We all know this very well as the sending song. So, 841.
Thank you. Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.